We're going to be in Mark chapter 8 tonight. We're continuing doing a study here on Bible invitations. And I like getting invited to places. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it's like, oh man, we got so much on our plate already. And it's like graduation time. There was a lot of people that graduated. And so we had a graduation invitation from Noah. And then we had three other ones from people from Fair Park where we were before. All four graduations were on the same day at the same time. I am not omnipresent, all right? And so we had to make a choice, so we chose that one which would be here would be Noah. So there's a lot of areas that can overwhelm you sometimes, but Bible invitations are interesting, and here we have one tonight that is a little bit different. I think this is a what I would call a challenging Bible invitation. This Bible invitation is to challenge us. And I think we need, as men of God, we need to be challenged. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's easy. Matter of fact, I was actually reading a book. I've been reading this afternoon. I was reading three different books. I'd read one for a little bit, set it down, read another one for a little bit, set it down, and then go to the other one. They all were kind of like on the same topic and subject, but it's kind of like I'm trying to get a little bit from all of them. And I got to make myself just stop and do one, then do the next one. But I had a good time today doing these studies. But it's easy for men, and what one of the areas that was being taught was it's easy for men, God's men, to become lazy spiritually, and we can let others do the work. We can let the women lead our homes. We can do a lot of different things, and I think it's time. At times, there's times when the men need to be challenged, and I think this invitation here, God is giving us and issuing a challenge. Christ is, and it's a very interesting. It's a very strong challenge here, and I think we need it from time to time. It's not that we haven't heard this before, but I think we need to hear it again. In Mark chapter 8, we're going to jump in at verse number, 34. We'll start at verse 34, go right on to the end of the chapter here. Mark 8:34, and notice what it says here. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. That's how Jesus sees it, amen?
Amen.
Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I want you to go back here just for a second here and look at verse 34 where Jesus is speaking. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We have looked at several invitations so far in Scripture, and there are different kinds of invitations in the Bible, just like there are different kinds of invitations in daily life. You can get invited to a graduation or to a birthday party or to a wedding. You get all these invitations for all kinds of things. And there's different kinds of invitations. The Bible has a variety of them. There is an invitation for all man to be saved. There's the invitation of salvation. And all of us are in need of this invitation. Amen. Brother Tyler's going to this peninsula to invite people in the name of Jesus Christ to receive the gift of salvation. So he's the messenger, if you would. And so we have that. All of us have that need because Romans 3:23 is clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's a need for this type of salvation, and this is an offer that can be accepted by every single person. For whosoever, I like the whosoever's in the Bible, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what?
Be
shall be saved. Period. That's what the Bible teaches. So there's the invitation for salvation. There are invitations for comfort. Remember on the last day of the feast, Jesus poured out the water at the end of the feast. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. We have the invitation in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, I just drew a blank on it.
All you labor and heavy laden.
Yes. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So it's a very, very important invitation to find comfort. There is invitations to come and pray. Call upon me. That's an invitation. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty. I like those two words, amen. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And remember, he gives us above all that we could ever ask or even think. So there's those types of invitations. But now we have this invitation here from Jesus here in Mark chapter 8. I believe that is a very challenging invitation. It's a challenge. It's an invitation to discipleship, to be a disciplined one, one that's willing to do whatever it takes to follow Christ. And so we see it's an invitation of discipleship. It's an invitation also, when we talk about discipleship, it's time to count the cost. We have to sit down and consider, am I willing to go this level? This is what a true disciple is. So he's inviting them to become true disciples, and there's going to be a cost involved. And that cost could even go to the place of suffering for the name of Christ. It could even go to the place of martyrdom for the cause of Christ. There was a great evangelist years ago. He's with the Lord now. He was actually a Southern Baptist preacher. His name was, I was going to say Art Wilson. That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Adrian Rogers.
No, not Adrian Rogers either. He was a great one too. J. Harold Smith.
Oh.
How many of you ever heard of J. Harold Smith? Powerful preacher. Powerful. And one of the things he said, he goes, I pray that it's the will of God that, he goes, I can go to be with him because I die a martyr's death. He wanted to die a martyr's death. He wanted to go to that level. And he was disciplined to do it as well. But God saw fit that that wasn't what he called him to. So we see that there's a variety of invitations here. And here is an invitation that is open to all of us. We all have received the invitation of salvation, right? We've all have at times received the invitation of comfort and encouragement for rest in our souls. We all have received the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace, to call upon him for see great and mighty. We've all received those invitations. And the first one is a once and for all invitation, salvation, right? But these other ones are can be continual through our life. And here he comes and he brings us tonight to this invitation and he challenges us to do several things to become the disciplined ones that he wants us to be. And folks, I want to tell you, guys, it's not going to be easy if we're serious about it. If we're here just to sit through another lesson and hear about it and say, wow, that's pretty wild, that's pretty interesting, and that's the extent of it, you're not going to be the disciple that you should be for Christ. We need to remember that he laid down his life for us, that we might be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren if need be even. So let's look at a couple of things here tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Letter A in your outline there, I want you to see that it's a challenge to forget self. It's a challenge to forget self. Notice what it says here in our text, and it's the number one on your list there. Let him deny himself. Self-denial. That's not the easiest thing to do when we are in a day and age of selfies. It's not about denying self. It's all about self in our day and age. Even in the church. And so we see here, he calls us and he challenges, he invites us to forget self. Let him deny himself. The word deny here means that we need to lose sight of us. We have to lose sight of ourselves. We have to lose sight of our own interests. And it means to completely deny utterly. How many of y'all have some self-interests? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me what they are. It could be hobbies. It could be things that are not bad, but they're there. And yet he wants us to deny ours, make ourselves available completely and solely to him, in spite of whatever might interest us. It's his will, not ours. Christ had already, and by the way, remember, Jesus never asked us to do anything that he himself has not already done. I would have to say that I think we'd all agree that Jesus wasn't living for himself. He was living for us, for our good, right? For our benefit, but for the Father's glory. So we see there's a challenge to forget self. Let him deny himself. Lose interests. I'm just going to use one of my self-interests, and I think the Lord's trying to keep me out of those things. I like old classic cars. I don't think anybody has a problem with old cars, right? I love them. I love fixing them up. I'm not against original. I like custom. I like to lower them down and do all that wild stuff. All right? I like driving them like that. Because as you're driving down the road, it's for sure you're going to get a lot of thumbs up. Yeah. That's self-interest. I mean, I'm not saying that it's sin, but I tell you what, it begins to puff you up because, wow, check this out, man, you know. And I like them. I mean, I do. And I'm trying to get one from my brother-in-law right now. And the brother-in-law price isn't even low enough yet.
What does he have?
He's got a 55 Chevy pickup with a 454 in it.
Step side.
And I got it for him. I found it down here and got it for him. I said, well, now it's time to give it back. And he goes, if it wasn't a money issue, Kevin, he goes, I'd give it to you. I said, it's not a money issue. Give it, you know. So I said, I think we're going to stay with him tomorrow night. I'm going to say, come and go look at it again. And I'm going to look at it Sunday night. And I'm going to say, this, not for me, Ron, your sister, would be a great 43rd anniversary gift. But you know what? That's my flesh that loves those things. My spirit sees the drawbacks of those things. It really does. Now, that's just me, okay? And the Lord says, I mean, if we take these verses, if we take this text, and we can see that he's definitely not talking directly to us, but he has preserved it and kept it to where it's sitting on our laps today, and now he is. Kevin, I want you to deny yourself. Quit this self-focus. Quit this area of focusing on your interests. And it's not that this is bad, but it's not eternal.
It's things.
Yeah. So I have to start looking at it like, man, is that how you see it? I mean, it's, you know, because it can get a person puffed up, correct? And being puffed up is pride. That's the first thing on the list. So a challenge to forget yourself, let him deny himself. Number two, this is not an easy challenge to accept. It's not an easy challenge to accept. You can't be flippant about this. He's being serious and straightforward. Kevin, I want you to deny yourself. And I have to stop and consider. He even tells us that we need to sit down and count the cost, does he not? Look at Mark chapter 10. Flip over just a page or two. And I want you to see something that's, I hope, will help you here. Mark 10, look at verse 27, and bear with me. There's a fair amount of reading here. Verse 27, Mark chapter 10. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. He's referring back to verse chapter 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So he's going deeper with them. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Remember how the disciples couldn't remember any of this stuff? When they came and said he rose from the dead, they didn't believe him? What is Jesus doing? What was he teaching in Mark 8? We saw. He's referencing back to Mark 8 in this, and now he's letting them know that even I am denying myself. What I am requiring of you, I've already done. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be spit upon. That is not focusing on self. I'm taking all of this for others, according to my Father's will. The teaching is getting deeper. Not only is it being taught, not only is he reviewing what's been taught, now he's going to tell him this. I'm going to live this out as an example. Verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. Sounds like we're losing self-focus here. We're back on that. And he said to them, What would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit on the right hand, thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what you ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all, ye shall be baptized. But to sit on the right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Are you with me on this, guys? And it goes on here where we can go on reading. Are they learning what he's trying to teach to them? He's teaching self-denial, right? Lose the focus of yourself. He says, let me emphasize this again. I know that you guys have sacrificed a lot, and some of you guys have sacrificed a lot. God says that'll be rewarded. But it's not about what you've done. It's about who I am. And then he begins, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do as an example so that you guys, and I'm telling you this now. I mean, he knew exactly, he knew they were going to, he knew everything that was going to happen, folks. And then as the teaching's done, these guys are saying, hey, we want to sit on the right hand and on the left hand. And that causes a little push, the spirit of the men, right? The other 10 are like, whoa, what's wrong with these sons of thunder? Who do they think they are? They are. Are they better than we are? And what do we have here? Self-focus. Not denying of self. I want you to see how easy it is to switch back, even after being under the teaching and the instruction of the Master himself. So this is not an easy challenge to accept. All of us are prone to look out for number one. That's the old Adamic nature. And even the disciples long for higher places over the others. Number three, who is on the throne of your life? Who is on the throne of your life? Discipleship calls for giving Christ first place. Always. You know how difficult it is to do that? The great apostle Paul says, I have to die daily. Every morning there has to be a funeral. mine. I must seek Him first, His kingdom, His righteousness. Paul says in Colossians, turn over to Colossians real quick, chapter 1. Paul hits the nail right on the head here. In Colossians 1, look what he says in verse number 17. He reminds us, and he is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of us, right? He's our authority, who is the beginning, the firstborn among from the dead, that in all things, he might have what, everybody?
Preeminence.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Paul says, Christ must have preeminence in the church. The church, we know, is not this building. It's not brick and mortar and wood. It is those who received that first invitation to salvation, that were born again by grace through faith, who have been placed, brought into the body of Christ. And we are the brick and mortar. We are the living stones that are building up Christ, the house of God. He dwells within us through His Spirit. And thus, He must have preeminence in my life, in Don's life, in Carl's life, in Timothy's life, and we can go right through this whole list. He's to have preeminence in our daily living. Because He's ahead of us. He's over us. And so the question is asked again, who's on the throne of your life? Not calling into question a person's salvation. We're not calling into question a person's assurance of salvation. We're not calling into question eternal security. We're not calling any of that. We are talking about disciples, but who is in charge? This is an invitation. I told you it was a challenging invitation. Who has first place? Is it self or is it the Savior? Remember, the disciples are walking with Christ in the flesh, and they are still struggling with this. So it's a challenge to forget self. Secondly, it's a challenge to full surrender. A challenge to full surrender. Back in our text, he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Now watch. And, there's an and there. Take up his cross and follow me. There's an old song. I don't know if I can remember. We have the old song that we sing, take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say. There was another one. This must Christ bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for you to bear and there's a cross for me.
It's a Sunday school song.
Yeah.
If you can't bear the cross, you can't wear the crown.
Yeah. So here we have this next area of full surrender. Let him. Notice that those two words, let him. I'm convinced that you and I cannot bear the cross. We cannot come to a place of full surrender if we cannot forget self. You see how this is all linked together? I believe that if you come and I come to this place of denying self, we will have no problem or issue bearing the cross and, it says, following him. So it's a challenge to full surrender. Number one, let him take up his cross. I want you to catch that. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. I have a cross to bear. You have a cross to bear. The cross, number two, is about death. It's about death. No man that ever bears a cross and goes outside the city ever came back. We're supposed to take it upon ourselves, each one of us. You know, in the Old Testament, they had come to Elisha and said, hey, the place that we're in is straight, the school of the prophets. Can we build something bigger? And I'm just paraphrasing this. And he says, yeah. And he uses a frame. Elijah uses the frame, every man a beam. And everybody was involved in the work. If we're going to do this, it's going to take everybody. Every man a beam. That means everybody had their responsibility. So if there was a beam, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of us here, all right? If there was 11 beams, two of them aren't for Carl. Every one of us has to take our responsibility, carry that beam, and carry out the work of God together as one. If somebody, one person lays down their beam, that beam can get in the way. If other person, well, if he's not carrying his, I'm not going to carry mine, and you can have a mess. Things are not being accomplished. Well, the beam is also the cross that we are to carry. I don't know what God has called you to bear. And what you're called to bear is not my responsibility. Can I say that? Remember when the Lord came and, hey, have ye any fish? And of course they catch the fish, and somebody finally says, after they let down the net, it's the master. And Peter jumps in and he gets to shore, and there's a nice campfire going. There's some fish frying there. There's a nice meal. He invites them to sit down and they eat. They know it's the master. And Jesus begins walking with Peter. Just the two of them. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. And he does it the second time, and we know that he does it the third time. And Peter gets frustrated the third time. Lord, you know all things. You know that I lovest thee. He says, okay, follow me. He's still instructing them about this commitment. Follow me. And he asked him three different times. Could be because he denied the Lord three times. And each time, if you remember, he asked, or two of the three times Jesus asked him, if you look at the Greek, he says, Simon Peter, agape me? Yea, Lord, you know that I phileo you, brotherly love. He responds back, Simon, do you agape me? I phileo you.
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah, it was still on a brotherly level. I'm convinced, guys, that the Lord will always work with us where we are. Amen? But he doesn't want us to stay there. And I'm convinced also that this level of discipleship all centers around agape love in us for him. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, not easily provoked. You know what that is? The denying of self.
Amen.
And full surrender to his love. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, they did not have a pastor, and he says that he was going to send Timothy to them. He says, listen to what he says. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now listen to what he says. What's he looking for? He's looking for somebody to come in and pastor the church at Philippi. As he looks around, evidently there was a good selection to choose from, but he says, I have no man, when I look around, like-minded except for Timothy. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And listen to what he says, for they all, men in ministry, for they all seek their own. What? Yeah. In Paul's day, he said, most of those men that are in the ministry are seeking their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. They did not accept this challenge, even those in leadership. What's interesting is when he says they all seek their own, is showing they're not operating out of agape love. They're acting as if it's just a friendship love, but it's not a godly love. Because when it says they're seeking their own, Corinthians 13 says, seeketh not her own. There's a big difference, guys, right? Self-denial makes a huge difference, because the love of God will flow through us in our areas of ministry, so that we will more than be willing to fully surrender, take up our cross, carry it where he wants it carried, put it down when it's time to put it down. But until then, we continue to follow him. And it may be all the way to Calvary, Golgotha, the place of a skull. It's a challenge to full surrender. I mean, Jesus had revealed his coming death to these guys in verse 31. Look what it says back here in verse 31. And again, departing from the... Am I in the right place? No, that's chapter 7. Chapter 8. Look at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He's already revealing his coming death. Peter, look what Peter does. And Peter, verse 32, and he spake up saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked upon his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. It's interesting, in one of the other Gospels that records this, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, some say that you're Elias, or one of the prophets, or John the Baptist from the dead. He goes, but who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up, right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies to his response, Simon Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. My Father was able to use you, Peter, to speak an eternal truth before everybody. And in that chapter of that gospel account that records that is this recording here of Peter rebuking the Lord, saying, not so, Lord. You're not going to Calvary. We're not going to let this happen. And he says, get behind thou behind me, Satan. We can go from being used by God 1 minute to being used by the devil the next. This invitation is a very challenging invitation because it's not only a daily situation, it is following Christ. That means I don't have a chance to veer off for any distraction at all. Anything that's going to distract me from following him. So Peter is rebuked for this message. Number three, taking up the cross is all about full surrender. Number three, taking up the cross is all about full surrender. Surrender, to give oneself up. The synonym for surrender is submission, to submit to it, to yield. We think of waving the white flags, don't we? Christ surrendered himself to the cross to save you and me. And I don't think we understand that fully. We agree with it, we know it's true, but I don't know that we even appreciate it fully. And we, and likewise, are to surrender to him in everything. In everything. Number four, what are you holding back from your Savior? What's in your life right now? The Bible talks about laying aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. What is besetting you from following Christ? He says, whatever it is, he goes, you need to lay it aside. Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things that beset us are temporary things that the flesh wants and has and craves. It has this desire for. And it might not be an evil, wicked thing. But if it takes precedence and it takes us away from following him, it is. What are you holding back from your Lord? Forget self. Full surrender. Number three, or letter C, it's a challenge to follow our Savior. It's a challenge to follow our Savior. Look what it says. Number one, let him, look what it says, follow me. Let him. You and I, notice what it says, let him follow me. You and I cannot follow him unless we let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, let him follow. If I don't deny, I cannot follow. The word follow here speaks of to accompany with. Remember, we're doing a study right now on Christ in the Old Testament, and it's based on New Testament teaching when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus. And these guys think they're going to teach him because he's a stranger. You don't know what's happening in all Israel, you know? And here God begins to expound it to them, it says. He began to open up their understanding. And it says that he began with Moses and the prophets, and all the prophets, all the way through the Old Testament, he expanded unto them those things that were concerning him. He is in every single book of the Old Testament, which that's all they had. And he was pointing out, there's me. They're applying that blood over the doorpost. There's me. As we saw there in the book of Numbers, there's the tabernacle. That's all about me. And the tents of the children of Israel that made the cross in that area, that's all about me. And in Genesis 3:15, of the promise, that's all about me. And here the disciples are accompanying Jesus. I think it's going to be a great day to walk with him. Amen. I think he'll have time for every one of us. I think he'll have time for every one of us. To accompany Christ. How can two walk together except they be agreed? It speaks of a union, a coming together, which is the bridegroom and the bride, the church, who, remember, he's to have preeminence over. And I believe that only a saved person can follow Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. John 14. It's the Spirit that enables us to endure the hardships. Even if we stand trial one day and have to give an account, he says, don't sit there and try to figure out, what am I going to say? He goes, I'll give it to you at that hour. He goes, the Spirit of God will bring things to your remembrance and give it to you. There's a lot of things that we remember. I think there's far more things that we don't. But I think it's all still here. It's just, he'll bring it right up. Following Christ may lead through difficult places. But that's what true discipleship is all about. Wherever he leads, I'll go. You know, one of the verses the Lord's been having me camp on, I mean, we're memorizing our scripture. We're about done with taking a verse out of every New Testament book. We're on 3 John. We've got 2 more weeks. We'll be done with 26 verses, 27 verses here this year, and then we'll kick into some other ones. But I've been thinking, as a matter of fact, Althea said something today and it made me think of it again, it triggered it, that you and I will give account of every idle word that comes out of our mouth. How does God keep track of mine and yours and yours and yours, and billions of people? I think of that song, What a Mighty God We Serve, amen? Amen. But he says, take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all. When? Today. Today. Accepting this challenging invitation, I believe, no matter wherever he leads, I'll go. makes life worthwhile. Makes life worthwhile. I think when we hold back, we lose the best that He has for us. The question we ask tonight as we close on this is, will you accept His challenge, His invitation to true daily discipleship? We must forget self. We will fully surrender, and then we will follow Him. Footsteps of Jesus. Will you walk with Him? He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. That's an Easter song. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come before Thee this evening with this incredible invitation. And like any invitation, I believe, though it's not recorded here, I believe that there is an RSVP. And we make it by whatever we choose. And we make a decision. Lord, I think that every one of us, no matter how close we are in fellowship with You right now, You still can say, draw nearer. Draw nearer. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Oh, that we might enjoy this heavenly fellowship where You're the focus, where we have given all because You did. Father, if there's any sin, if there's any weight that is besetting us, may Your Holy Spirit bring this to our thoughts even right now. Make us aware of those things that we're not aware of. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. May we enjoy the fellowship that Adam and Eve had before the fall. May we enjoy the walk of fellowship that Enoch enjoyed. All of those things are still available to us, I believe, today, as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, as we can daily die to this old flesh. Add Your blessing now, Lord. Glorify Your Son, and may we make the right choice for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.